The Clippers blow a 19-point lead, forcing me to drink a bucket of red wine. Brady meets with Goodell to appeal his, quote, undocumented love of deflated balls. And as we speak, Johnny Depp's dogs are on a private jet flying back to America. Who cares? This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He hacked it to 2-0, now to 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Hey, you guys, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family. This is episode 87. 86 more than episode number one. We have a fantastic episode today. You know why? Because people have been emailing me and saying, Aaron Foley, when are you going to start really talking about hockey? And I was like, listen, I will when the playoffs start, when I really start watching. My Rangers, I have put on 15 pounds in the last 10 days between the Rangers and the Clippers. We'll talk about that. I have a very special guest because this woman has won the gold medal in women's ice hockey for Canada. I know it's Canada, but we're still excited that she's here, our arch rival. We can never beat you guys, and we're going to talk about that. Please welcome Katie Weatherston.
Thank you, Aaron.
Gold medal. I can't get past. So we met like a couple weeks ago randomly at a bar, and then we started talking, and then I don't know how we started talking because I probably had some cocktails. And then
you liked hockey.
We were talking about hockey.
One of the few Americans that I've run into here.
Really?
So we bonded over that for sure.
So Canada, obviously obsessed.
Obsessed with
next
hockey.
Next level. It's like our football, right? Would you say that? Pretty much?
Probably more, yeah.
Probably more. Yeah, probably more. Definitely. And then you're like casually, oh yeah, I played women's ice hockey. I won the gold in 2006. My head fell off. I put it back on. And I was like, you need to come on and talk about hockey. This is a podcast that isn't enough about hockey. Here, listen, in all fairness, there's only so much I can obsess over and watch every week. So this podcast, we're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk about women's soccer. We're going to talk about how the Clippers blew a 19-point lead. At one point, the Houston Rockets outscored the Clippers 40-15. I wasn't planning on drinking. I drank two beers. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Tom Brady. Apparently, Katie's got some inside information. Wow, that's exciting. And golf, we got a golfer on the Feel Good Moment of the Week. It's going to be another epic hour. Let's start with this. Let's just start with this. You've probably talked about this for, you know, a while in your life. But to all your new listeners, 2006 gold medal. I mean, was it like just like the craziest thing ever?
It was. That whole process that year was insane. The trial process was really long. I was a rookie. I wasn't supposed to make that team. So probably the greatest thing that year was making the team for me.
Yeah.
Because I was the only player that had never been to a world championship before. And that's the year they said Crosby, they didn't take him because he was too young and didn't have enough experience.
They didn't take Crosby in 2006.
Yeah. So I was pretty fortunate to get selected on the team. And just going to the Olympics was awesome. It was in Italy, my second home country. So the team's running joke is they took me because I could be the translator.
Oh, you speak Italian?
I speak Italian.
Oh, you're Italian. So, well, where did you grow up? Let's back up.
Small little community in northern Ontario, Thunder Bay.
Close to
Duluth, Minnesota.
First of all, who doesn't want to be born and raised in Thunder Bay? That's like the greatest name for a town.
We actually have, I think, the most NHL players per capita.
Like, really?
Thunder Bay? We produce hockey players in Thunder Bay. That's what we were known for.
That's so great.
It's always cold, outdoor rinks, pond hockey. That's all we did growing up.
Ugh. That sounds dreamy. I just love that, like, Thunder Bay is, like, such instant street cred. You know what I mean? You're like, I was born in blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, yeah, I was born in Thunder Bay. I win. All right, so it's hockey. Like, you grow up and you just, it's hockey, hockey, hockey.
Hockey, hockey,
but
hockey.
But you played hockey, but then you also played soccer. You played soccer first?
Well, I played both. I was one of the few girls in the boys' league, so.
That's awesome.
It was awesome beating up on the boys, but it was also challenging.
Yeah.
You know, I had parents yelling, like, kill the girl, coaches saying, go play ringette. And that just fueled me more just to show them.
Go play ringette? What does that mean?
What is ringette?
What is ringette?
Stick with no blade.
What?
You have a ring and you skate around the ice with a ring. You've never heard of ringette? Wow.
I've never heard of ringette. Matt, have you heard, Mike? No, no.
Okay, so that's
so
a
it's a Canadian thing. Wait, there's a sport in Canada called ringette?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Carol, write this down. There's a sport I don't know. Carol's somewhat awake for this. She's actually, I think, interested in something new. Ringette. Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so it's like a hockey stick, no blade.
Just a ring, and you have to... They're really good skaters, but they don't really need a stick handle because it's just a ring on your stick. And then you have to shoot it and try to put it top shelf, lifting the ring. I've never tried it.
So. Wait, but goalie nets? Like, does it look like a hockey?
They're on the ice wearing their hockey gear. I don't know much about it. But
yeah, but it's so when they say, obviously that was an insult. So because it's like less skill and they're like, oh, women, you play this.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was challenging. You always have a target on your back when you're one of the elite players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was determined and driven to be better or as strong as the boys. And I found at around 12 and 13, that's when they really started catching up. And I switched to girls hockey at 14. And it was just little steps towards the national team. I made Team Ontario, so played in nationals. And then I went to Dartmouth College on a hockey scholarship.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, you're getting way too ahead. I have so many more questions. So what was it like growing up in Canada, Thunder Bay, which is, I'm obsessed with Thunder Bay. But you're saying you're playing on the boys teams, but it just seems like women's hockey is so celebrated in Canada, and you guys beat us every single time, and it kills me. Was it not cultivated, like, in your area for women? Or was it? Or you just were, like, better than the women and you wanted to play for the dudes for a while?
Well, there was female teams, but now it's huge, female hockey. Back when I was a kid, it was still growing.
I gotcha.
So,
okay.
You know, we had one team. I'm in 110,000 people, smaller community. So if I wanted to play elite, I had to play with the boys.
I gotcha. Okay. That was my question because I was like, wait a minute. It just seems like women's hockey is super celebrated.
Yeah, now there's tons of leagues for girls.
And is that because you guys consistently kick everyone's ass in hockey? And so, you know what I mean? Sometimes, like, for instance, our women's soccer in America is so much more sort of like watched and appreciated. It's because we win, I think, part of it. And dudes are, you know, playing this and playing that. And women have such limited sports in America that I think that's why, you know, we're just arguably one of the best consistently. But for Canada, it's just, I mean, it's not even close. Although, last Olympics, we can talk about that.
It didn't end well.
I'm not going to lie. I was screaming. I took that loss almost like I was playing. That one was one of the hardest losses in Aaron Foley's life.
I remember.
I know we're skipping ahead.
I was actually speaking in a school when it was all going down.
Yeah.
And my phone was just blown up when I got out of my speech. And I was trying so hard not to know what happened.
Yeah.
So I missed that whole...
Oh, when it hit the top of the net?
Yeah.
When it clinked off the post?
So I didn't get to experience it the way everyone else did, but it was pretty unreal how that went down.
I think also, Americans,
I did feel bad. I usually don't feel bad for the Americans, but that time I did.
I never actually feel bad for Americans because it's like those teams always, I kind of feel like they're pampered and they've got, you know, you see teams that like barely have jerseys, you know, fielding a team, and I always root for the underdog, but... In women's hockey, we are the underdog, at least when we play Canada. So I was just like, this is it. This is the year. Came so close. And like the Clippers, shit the bed at the end. Got real nervous, tightened up, and then it all went south. Okay, let's back up. So you're playing for the dudes. And then around 13, 14, no, are you checking? So they're like checking
you. Yeah, so that was a challenging thing. I'm tiny.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, 5'3 and a bit.
Yeah.
100 pounds.
Yeah.
Going up against guys that are 6 feet. So when I was 12, 13, I played 2 years of body contact.
Oh, my God.
And that was challenging.
How did they not kill you? I guess you just dodged?
I was fearless. I really was growing up. My coach said, he's like, if only all you guys would dig in the corners like Katie. I was just not afraid to go in there against the 6 foot guys. But I remember my frustrations because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist too, and I wanted to be the best. And I just felt they were catching up to me and they were hard to keep up with at that point
because
they were getting so much bigger than me.
I was going to say physically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
so
mentally, you probably out-toughed them, but physically,
the separation is more the 13th. I was playing 13 AA, so I was still playing an elite level. And I played against a few of the guys that are now in the NHL. So
who?
Looking back,
drop names.
Duncan Keith. I remember playing against him. He's on Chicago now.
And he's on the Blackhawks now.
He was tiny, but such a smooth skater.
I thought he was a country western star. Is there anyone that has a name like Duncan Keith? Duncan Keith is either, I guess, a hockey player or someone that opens up.
Country
oh, maybe
star.
That's Toby Keith. I don't know. I know like two country people from The Voice that are like 17. I don't know anybody else. Okay, so Duncan Keith. And then, of course, yeah, because it's like, you know, Canada and it just breeds like all-star hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I went home and when I was playing, I would play with the NHL guys. I would train with them in the summer. So that was pretty cool. I got to play with all the Stahl brothers.
Oh, my God. That's
training
awesome.
Training with Patrick Sharp.
I know these guys' names.
Yeah. So
yeah.
The Pyatts. So we produced a lot of NHL guys. And it was, you know, I enjoyed more when we played inside the blue line 3-on-3 because I could kind of keep up.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of those guys' strides is like four of mine. So.
Oh, my God. Well, they're huge. And they're
massive.
You know, I watch hockey like in and out throughout the year, right? And then I always say to people, like, NHL hockey playoffs, I think, you know, obviously you can argue everything, but I think it's one of the most exciting things you can watch. And I can sit there, and, you know, Rangers are my team, but I'll watch the Chicago series, not as intently, because obviously I'm from New York, but it's so fun to watch. The speed. Every time I'm watching hockey, I'm like, this, I think, athletically is the hardest sport. To me, I don't know how you're basically sprinting on a blade of ice, stopping like on point, and that's just your legs. And then you have your entire hand-eye coordination. Like, to me, it's mind-blowing. Hockey is mind-blowing to me.
See, and for me, it's like walking.
Yeah.
So but I get it. But I can say that, you know, people ask me what was the more challenging sport because I played elite hockey and soccer.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're more exhausted. I find, like, soccer is more challenging because you're on there the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, at least skates, you're gliding. You can coast once in a while. You try not to, but.
And then you have your, what do you call it?
You can take breaks.
Yeah.
Three.
You what know, is it called? The lines?
You're on for about 45 seconds and you're off.
Yeah.
There's four lines. Sometimes we play with three, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think both are very demanding and.
They're both incredibly demanding.
Hockey was my favorite sport.
Yeah.
I lived and breathed hockey and I loved watching it. Like,
yeah.
All we did in every family in Canada, what they do Saturday night is they watch Hockey Night in Canada with Don Cherry.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, huh?
Know, not many Americans know what we'd be talking about, but we would put on our Edmonton Oilers jersey, sit with a family. That's what we did every Saturday night.
That's so great.
Like, it's just
awesome. You're going to love my Edmonton Oilers story. Wait, so is that your team growing up? Was it Edmonton?
Oh, yeah, Gretzky.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah, and Curry.
Yeah, Messier. We watched them.
That's right. You had Messier.
Yeah.
My beloved Mark Messier for a while.
Yeah, you had him for a bit. But, yeah, and I got to meet Wayne Gretzky. That was pretty cool.
Oh, my God, please. I'm going to put my story on hold. Please tell me your Gretzky story immediately.
2006 Olympics, he came into our locker room to wish us good luck.
Oh, my God.
I remember him standing watching one of our practices, too, totally distracted. I definitely tried to kick it up a bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's just drinking his Tim Hortons coffee off on the sideline.
Oh, Tim Hortons.
We bring that stuff with us to the Olympics.
Okay, that's amazing.
That's a Canadian coffee.
It is. And people are obsessed with it. I've done a lot of work in and out of Canada. People are just obsessed
with
it.
Yeah, obsessed.
Tim Hortons.
Our team, I don't drink coffee, but every girl on our team had to go get Tim Hortons coffee before a game. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
And it would ruin them if they didn't have Tim Hortons coffee. Like, the game would be over and their whole approach. But yeah, and then I walked by Gretzky. I tell this story when I speak, you know.
Yeah.
I walked by him in the hall, and he nodded at me and said hi. And I'm like, did Wayne Gretzky just say hi to me first?
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's pretty cool. So I nodded and said hi. And, you know, distractions like that happen all the time. I'm like, I would have loved just to stop, give him a hug, talk to him. But I was, you know, pretty respectful of giving him his privacy and also staying focused on my games.
Yeah.
I wasn't there to socialize and have fun.
This is why I never made it to that elite level. I would have just been like, let's get beers immediately. Oh, wait, do I have a game? whoops, sorry about that. But that's so great that he was there supporting, I'm sure, the men's and women's teams. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
2006. Jesus. Gretzky. All right. You're going to love this. Growing up, my family lived in, grew up in New York. We lived in Connecticut for a chunk of time and then Rhode Island. So when we were in Connecticut, the Hartford Whalers were in Connecticut. And my dad was in sales at the time. And so we used to go to Hartford Whaler games all the time. And Edmonton Oilers come into town. And Dad and I were like so fired up to see Gretzky and Curry. Mm-hmm. And whenever the Hartford Whalers scored, they would have this little, like, kind of musical number, right? And everyone would be screaming. And I was like, and I was a little kid. I was probably, like, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. And I was like, oh, Dad, like, I'm so psyched to see the Oilers. But, like, we're not going to hear the little jingle for the Whalers because we're going to get killed, right? And he was like, yep, probably. So 2 days before, maybe even, like, the day before, I don't know, I'm making this up, whatever it was, Gretzky rolls an ankle, Curry gets food poisoning. Oh. It was something like that. Both of them do not skate for the Oilers, and the Whalers win like 10-0. And I heard the jingle 10 times, and I was like, I would have given up the jingle to see Gretzky and Curry play.
I hear you. I have season tickets, Ottawa, my team. That's where I'm living, Ottawa. And when those star players come through, I want to watch them. And when they're in, it's tough.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm not. People say, you know, what's your favorite team? I love watching talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Edmonton, I love when they roll through. Still, even I don't know how they lose every game.
But yeah,
they have Hall. Like, Hall's unbelievable. He creates so much. Eberle. I like watching those individual players.
Yeah, and the Ottawa Center did really well this year. Didn't they? Did they lose first round or second round? No, wait, we're in the second round.
Ottawa Senators were the NHL story of the year. I think they. They had a 3% chance of making the playoffs. Then they went 21-3-3.
No way!
To surge into the playoff spot. And they did it mostly with Hamburglar, their third...
Is his name really Hamburglar?
Andrew Hammond, but he's known as the Hamburglar.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And they brought him up from Binghamton, their AHL team. And he went on a streak. I think he had... He tied the record for 12 games with 2 goals or less to start his career.
Wow.
So he pushed them through. And the funny story there is Hamburglar. So the McDonald's guy got on board and they gave him free McDonald's for life.
No! Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, so
Sports Without Balls fans, I just want to let you know that Katie came with notes. She has notes. Is that like a dream guest? That's a dream guest. Do you have notes? You're pulling Ottawa Senator stats out? I'm loving this. Because, like, hockey, like, I'm a fan, but, like, I don't know the, you know, second line for the, you know what I mean? Like, it's just such a pleasure to watch.
Everyone knows the Hamburglar story that watches NHL, I feel like, though, because in Ottawa, we'd throw hamburgers on the ice at the end of the game. No joke. He picked up one and held it up one, and that was a pretty good pitcher. But then one of the rookie guys picked one up. Who knows when it was bought?
Oh no, and ate it.
He took a bite.
No,
and ate it and held it up to the crowd.
Epic. They must have gone apeshit. That's amazing.
Yeah, we were like, when was that burger bought? How long was it sitting in someone's purse?
That was probably like a blip on a story on ESPN, but for Canada, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was a huge story.
We get horrible stories about football just raping in the off season, and you get feel good hamburger stories that don't make our press. That is such a great story. That's awesome. Okay, let's get back to you. I want to ask some like women's versus men's hockey questions before we talk about Olympics. And then we have to talk about the Olympic Village because I've been obsessed with the shenanigans of the Olympic Village. If I could just like be a fly on the wall, I would pick the Olympic Village. Well, first of all, I just want to be in the Olympic Village, just literally
I have some stories for you then.
Making out with every hot lady that won the win met. I'm like, oh, you're a tall blonde Finnish woman that just won for discus. Let's make out. That would be amazing. Okay. We were talking about this very briefly before we hit play and record. Maybe just record. As far as the checking and the no checking, obviously you grew up, which you just said, in the boys' leagues. And I don't know how you didn't break yourself in half. But I guess that your speed and agility and fearlessness. Then you switch over to women's hockey. So was that like a hard transition?
Oh yeah, it was super tough. I was playing with girls probably 3 years older than me, and I played double A with girls still, but it was a different level. So it was hard to keep the skill up and challenge yourself. And I actually even played single A with the girls, which is like unheard of.
What does that mean? Single A, double, like single A being the top?
No, so triple A is the top, double A,
okay.
Single A.
Oh, okay, right.
So,
like baseball. Okay.
I was playing even with some house league players, competitive players. So it was just a mixed bag, 3 years older than me. So it was a challenge, and it was also a challenge to get noticed. And I just played because I love hockey. I didn't back then there was no female role models. I didn't have aspirations to play on the national team. So it was kind of It was kind of interesting how it all went down.
So this is late 90s?
When I was 15.
Okay.
That's when I got my opportunity to play with Team Ontario to try out. But I didn't make the team. Politics, people, like, they don't pick anyone from small towns. Then when I was 17, I made the team, and that's when things started happening.
Okay.
So I got scouted for Dartmouth, and that's when I said, it was actually, I set my goal in 2002. I don't know if you remember that Olympics, Canada versus U.S.
I remember all of them.
Okay. There was some heated rivalry going on that, you know, they were stepping on a flag in a Canadian flag in their locker room.
We were just trying to get excited.
And
I don't
my
I
good old
don't
teammate Haley Wickenheiser, I remember her passion and how she was so angry about it. When she won, she basically said, like, kind of take that, you know, step on our flag, we'll step on you, kind of.
Yeah.
And
as you should when
as
someone
you should,
sticks.
Yeah.
That was a
and
poor
any,
move, obviously.
Any ammunition we get, you know, you use that as fuel. So you try to keep that out of the media. We need to teach that to some of the Americans, I think. But
whores,
I was
Katie.
Watching with my teammates, and I got so, like, emotional. Like, it was crazy. I went up, I, like, hugged the TV, kissed the TV. I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, 4 years later, I was there.
All right. Well,
it was crazy. So it was really
awesome.
A 4 year dream.
Yeah.
Like the window wasn't that much. I was just like, I think I can play there. How the heck do I get there?
Yeah.
So
what was the plan? Like, so you're, tell us about the plan.
For me,
Dartmouth?
It was tough. I didn't have the plan. It was, you know, I made Team Ontario. That was step one. That's a showcase tournament. Everyone comes. I went to Dartmouth, and sure, I was started off on the fourth line. Halfway through, I was put on the first line.
Yeah.
And
just because your knowledge of hockey is so fantastic.
Okay.
And I talk to us when you say, like, fourth line and first line, because I like learning about, like, when I watch a hockey game, right? I go, you know, it's just dudes running off the bench, running back on. And I know there's lines, and I know they try to pair up. But I don't know hockey like I know strategy of, like, basically every other sport.
Okay.
So the hockey, when you say, like, fourth line, third line, talk to us about lines.
So usually you stack your top six players on your first two lines.
Okay.
They see the most ice time. Third line could potentially be a checking line. Same with fourth line.
What does that
mean? An energy line.
What's a checking line mean?
You know, just someone that you can, that's good in the defensive end.
Okay.
Or you have, you know, your gritty players. Like, we have Chris Neal, who's just going to fight people and just get the crowd going. Like, he's our energy player.
That
for
dude
Ottawa
from
Senators.
The Canadian, who's just brutal. That dude's a dick.
P.K. Subban,
yes.
Which one? Yeah,
P.K. Subban. Subban. Okay. No, first of all,
he's got a little bit of attitude. He does.
I'm sorry. First of all, let me give him some credit, because when he winds up to shoot that puck, I don't want to be anyone on defense. It is probably the hardest, what I would say, one of the hardest hitting, or what does he even play? Does he play offense?
And that hurts.
And when people, you know how people are, like, trying to say it and they throw themselves in front of, I was like, I would never throw myself in front of
a PK.
It's
what you gotta do.
Oh my God. Anyway, he's also,
he's also, hits you where you have equipment.
Yeah, exactly. I just think every single time I watch that dude, he's like breaking people's arms.
But that's good, you know? Like, that's the player I want on my team. I mean,
I guess
I want
it is, you're right.
That,
if it's on your team, yeah.
Doesn't like to play against. And that's kind of what I want it to be. I want it to be that little shit disturber.
Is that what, that
oh,
was one
was
of your
shit
goals?
Disturber.
You were a shit disturber?
A little bit.
Oh, I love this. We're getting at it now.
I would, you know.
Yeah.
I knew how to draw penalties. I knew how to get under the skin of the other team. I was a great checker. I was quick. I was you know, shifty, small.
Did you talk smack? Is there a lot of smack talking in women's hockey?
There's some smack talking. There is.
What's your best moment of smack talking, or something you've heard, or something you've said?
I mean, people don't realize how physical the female game gets.
It gets insanely physical.
Yeah, I mean, when I was 13, I got kicked out of a game because I had to defend myself because I was had to throw a few punches.
No way!
Yeah, with a guy. And then my big defenseman would step in, though. Like, I had really good guys that played with me 12, 13.
The gloves came off as they
No, they don't come off because you have cages, but the gloves come right in your face. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sport. You have to definitely have thick skin, and I never back down from
any of your
anything.
Mama jokes, like any skidding by, like, your mama's so fat, and none of that.
No, but
that's where I would excel at, I think. I did say
some things. You know, I don't think I want to repeat them. But one of the things that happened was, you know, we had some intense rivalries with Harvard, Dartmouth, and Minnesota, and of course the stars from the American team. And
were you friendly with some of these girls or no? Just your teammates at Dartmouth.
Just the teammates at Dartmouth. Yeah. Probably. You're friendly with some of them, but like when you're playing against them, it's war.
Oh,
like it's war. You just want to.
What's Dartmouth's like arch rival?
It was Harvard.
Harvard.
So
okay.
We won Ivies, I think three times. But I remember, I'm not going to mention names, but one of the best players in the U.S., I was down on the ice and
Granato.
She tripped me, and then all of a sudden she just kicks me in the head.
What?
Yeah, that stuff happens. So
do you name names? Throw her name out. Who cares? We'll get her on the show.
She got tossed out of the game at least. But
was she playing for Harvard?
Harvard. Little dirty there. And you know what?
Did she have a reputation for being dirty?
A little bit, but okay. You know, it just, you know, that's that kind of fuels you.
Oh, of course.
It's very physical. Sure, we don't have body checking, but we sure have body contact.
Like, oh yeah,
you watch a high level female game, and they're, you know, pretty active with our sticks.
Yeah,
and definitely a
what
lot of
can
body
you get
contact.
Away with? Like, I know, like the men don't even, like, they can just beat the shit out of each other. Basically,
sometimes I wish we did have body checking.
Do you think the women would vote for checking or no? Like, what's your opinion on that?
I think if we want to sell the game a little bit more, we have a professional women's hockey league, and it's not at the level that like the WNBA was at.
Yeah.
And how can we get it to the next level? Do we go to visors, half visors?
What does that mean?
I don't know. More visibility, visibility of the players.
Oh, because you guys
play full cage, okay. Half visors. Do we go to body checking? Is that what we need to sell our game?
I forgot about the full cages.
Full cage, yeah. So, I mean, I almost think, you know, maybe we should, but a lot of people say they like watching the game because it's a cleaner sport.
It is a cleaner sport.
There's more skill. You don't have the big goons like you do in the NHL. And there's no fighting in women's hockey.
Yeah.
So, I guess you want to say it's a little more classy, but
I think it's a beautiful game because, you know, and it sort of hits you because my opportunity as like an American is so few and far between to see women's hockey. You just don't see a lot of women's hockey. You see it like, you know,
you
if you're going
world championships,
but
and
you have
the
to
Olympics.
Go out of your way to see world championships, and Olympics is every 4 years.
Yes.
So you forget. Like, I remember what year would that be? 2010, right? 2010?
Vancouver.
2010? No. It was Olympics. I'm sorry, because that was like, this
Olympics,
was just 2 years
Vancouver,
ago.
Russia. No?
Yeah. Russia. So that was 2000 what?
14,
right? Because that was like
a year ago.
The one we just lost to Canada, right?
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen women's hockey in, you know, years. And I watched every match I could get my hands on. And I just remember thinking, this game is like, it's, I know, and I like the men's game, but for me it was more fun to watch because without the, here's what I'm trying to say. In the women's game, you've got, let's say you got a puck in the corner, right? So in the, someone's flying, they have to stop. They literally have to stop on a dime, and then it's just skilled, you know, with the stick, right?
I'm going to teach you how to stop.
I can't even walk.
Teach my 5-year-olds.
I can't even put my size 11s in boots and try to spin myself around. I can't. It's not going to happen. But the men's, Versus the men's, it's just, I'm just going to come in and bulldoze you. There's no thought of, like, what I'm going to do next. You know what I mean? So the women's, I think it's just cleaner and more strategic because for me, it's 10 times interesting for them to duke it out with their skill versus I'm just going to slam into the boards and then kick the puck and then it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I like it.
It's how can we sell it to the majority of the population?
Yeah.
For some reason, the majority of the population likes, you know, hard-hitting.
Big hits and dunking. It's the same argument.
You know, hard shots, quicker speed. You're never going to get the shot, you know, body size, different.
Yeah.
Body composition. So it's tough. It's challenging. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Do we have to add body checking just to sell the game more to those sports fans that want to see that stuff?
How is the league doing?
It's, you know, it has its up and down, but it's just, it's not televised. There's not a lot of money there. Also, you know, Canada and US is where we draw most of our players. It's tough because it's a two country sport.
Yeah.
And they talked about removing it from the Olympics, which would be awful because
what?
We just want to watch Canada, US face off. But, you know, you do have other countries that are Sweden, Finland.
Yeah.
You know, Russia. They're starting to develop, but there's just no money in those programs. So most people can't train as professional athletes.
They have
full jobs, and then they just go play in the Olympics, you know?
Wow.
So,
So is the Canadian League, the women's league in Canada right now, do Americans play in that league?
Like, it actually is, you have two teams. You have Boston and Minnesota. So it's Canada, U.S. So
Small. Yeah.
But it's...
Happened, right? The Boston team? Didn't I just read about that?
I'd love to see it grow. I know there's some people on my old team that have been working hard, and hats off go to them for putting that league together. It's a challenge.
Yeah, of course.
You know, to get players when you're not, you know, getting paid.
Yeah. I think that was the article I read. I have to fact check this. Carol's already, she just went out for what she said was an ice cream, but we all know that's probably a six pack of Coors Light. I read an article, it was a female owner, I do believe it was women's hockey, that was like, we're changing the mold, we're going to pay. But I thought it was women's hockey. It could be soccer. I can't remember. I will fact check that. All right, so let's double back. I don't think there should be check. I think that the sport is perfect, and it's just this ultimate challenge of getting money and
visibility
for every women's sport across the board.
Yeah, televised sports like that.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to get most of your visibility
and
supporters and followers. So a lot of people just say, you know, we didn't know you were playing the U.S. like in our community. It's crazy. If we knew, we would come and watch.
Yeah.
You know, we've had exhibition games where, you know, we do get a crowd, but, you know, you're wondering why it's not sold out. So, but now when we do play the U.S., it's sold out. Like World Championships 2007, we beat you guys again.
Brutal. She was smiling, you guys, when you said that.
We beat you guys again, and then paused.
In
Manitoba, you know, we had played them twice, two sellout crowds, over 15,000 people at the MTS Center. So that was
awesome.
Just to play in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to come to Canada and just put yourself in a Canadian crowd. Like we're crazy.
Yes.
They're hockey fanatics, and it was a time of my life playing in front, you know, at the Olympics, being televised, World Championships. It's just a few moments in your career.
Yeah,
you work so hard for
it's
just
crazy.
Those few moments where you get that shot and I mean, it was a great experience, but I wish I had more opportunities.
Yeah. So, all right. So take us back to 2002. You're like, all right, this is my dream. I'm going to get there. So you keep playing, and then you, what happens between 2002 and 2006 besides obviously training and then trying out for the national team?
I mean, I owe a lot to my college, Dartmouth College.
Yeah.
I picked that school, because I said, you know, both Jillian Apps and Sherry Piper were going to be freshmen that year. So rookies coming in, and they were on the national team.
Oh, wow.
Piper went to the Olympics. So I said, hey, if they're going to be rookies with me, I'm going to be with them for 4 years. Team Canada is going to watch them. If I can play just as good as them, you know, I should get a shot.
Yeah.
So that kind of was my goal. That was my game plan. And why I picked, part of the reason why I picked that college. And it worked.
It's a great school.
So after my first year, like I said, I went from the fourth line to the first by Christmas. and I was doing well, and I went to my first Team Canada training camp, and I'll never forget that camp, your first camp.
Yeah.
And there was a few senior players there, and I'll never forget what Carolyn Ouellette said to me. She's like, "Where have you been? Why aren't you on the under 22 team already?" I think we got our report cards, and I was ranked third at that camp. So that just gave me so much confidence.
Wow.
And I went in, and I played 2 years with the under 22 team. I went to a tournament with the senior team, which mentally I was probably not prepared for. I think everyone kind of might go through that. Like, I choked a little bit, lost confidence.
Like the Clippers? Like, yeah, when you're up by 19 in the fourth quarter?
But they've been around, some of those players. They shouldn't be doing this. So
still getting to that. We're still going to get to that, sports fans.
You know, I was with
yeah,
Cassie Campbell, Haley Wickenheiser, all the big names.
Wickenheiser. God, she was like a...
Yeah.
She kills
so
us.
It was intense. I didn't make the world championships, and coach basically said, you know, you gotta bring your confidence, and you gotta get better at everything.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna bring you into the Olympic tryouts. So the Olympic trial process is insane.
So talk to us about that leading up to Olympics, because then I've got some Olympic questions.
Make it into a reality TV show.
Yeah. How many months were you saying? It was like 9, 10 months or something like that?
Well, we have our June camp. So we went, it was boot camp in Prince Edward Island. I just had ankle surgery, so I show up on crutches. And
oh,
they're
Jesus.
Like, we got to get this cast off. They rip off my cast, send me walking. My ankle's pounding and throbbing and huge. So all I did for 3 weeks was bike. And then we went on a camping and bike trip. You know, it should be fun, right?
Yeah.
Fun times?
Sounds
girls,
sort of fun. Yeah.
Team bonding? Well, you know, elite athletes were pretty competitive, let's say.
Yeah.
So no one gets into bike crashes. We're all good. We're biking across Prince Edward Island, you know, 100 miles a day, whatever. And last day we decide to have a triathlon.
Oh, Jesus.
Three of us got into bike crashes.
No.
That's how much we were pushing each other and, like, tailing. I ended up in the hospital, though.
Oh, what?
Went into shock, 3 front teeth out, went home to my mom, and people like, don't girls wear full cages in hockey? So I looked like a hockey player.
Oh, my God.
So that was intense. So I was like, okay, I'm this kid that shows up to Olympic tryouts getting cut the year before. I now have bike crash, ankle surgery. I'm still not skating. Like, I look like that. Like, put me in a bubble.
Oh, my God.
So that was a rough month. And then I went home all summer, and I trained by myself, just on the ice every day.
Yeah.
With some of the NHL guys as well. And then you go back for centralization, starts August 1st. So August 1st, we actually played against, Midget AAA, it's 16, 17-year-old boys.
No way.
In Canada. We were playing in Calgary, Alberta. And that was our competition. That's who we trained against and compete. And they're quick, you know. They're quick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They have
yeah.
the shots, but we outwit and outsmart them usually.
Of course, because we're ladies.
It was a great experience. And then December, I think it was December 17th, we all had 5-minute meetings with the coaches.
And determine if you were going to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, so it's either, you know, Merry Christmas or go home and cry.
Oh, and you got it.
So, yeah, that was the most... nerve-wracking 5 minutes of my life.
Wow.
I will say, and it was pretty awesome once they said you made the team. And when I tell people, they're like, "What's your greatest achievement ever?" I'm like,
yeah.
By far, I know it sounds crazy. It was making that team.
Well, it doesn't sound crazy.
It wasn't winning a gold medal. Like that was just icing on the cake. Like getting on that team after ankle surgery and all the adversity I had.
Yeah.
Oh, it was tough. So
congratulations.
You know, the Olympics was just the fun part.
All right. So fast forward, we're in Olympics because this podcast is flying by. You make the Olympic team. You're training. So did you have a year? Or was that like you go to the Olympics in next month?
Yeah, so they picked the team December.
And then
we had like a month and a half to
Sochi
come together.
January, okay.
January we went over, end of January we went over to Italy.
Okay.
And we were training in Torre Pelche up in the mountains, 2 days.
Was it just
getting
gorgeous?
Our butts kicked
like, did you
too.
Have
yeah,
any,
it was awesome.
Did you have any, like, could you do any sightseeing or was it just totally intense?
It was pretty intense.
Yeah.
I mean, our coach pulled us aside and you know, kind of talked to us four rookies and was like, here's what's going to go down at the Olympics. Stay away from your parents. Like, they're going to be a hot mess, which was true. Like, my parent, you know.
So your parents came over.
They're having
yeah, yeah.
the time of the life. And they're like, Katie, did you eat healthy? Did you sharpen your skates?
Yeah.
Is your stick taped? Like, yeah. Are you sure you're ready to go? Like, you know. Yeah.
They must be, parents must be freaking out.
Oh, they're freaking out. So that's why our coach was like, you know what?
Okay.
Parent time.
So you didn't see them. Like, you saw them
briefly. A
little
bit. Just briefly. You know,
you're
after
staying
a game,
in the,
20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. And you're staying in the Olympic Village.
In the Olympic Village. So we, our competition was, you know, opening ceremonies. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow.
50,000 screaming Italians wearing white. It was amazing to walk in and just, you know, being a, I think that was one of the coolest parts of the Olympics. That's when it sinks in. You're there.
Yeah.
They walk in and they say, welcome Canada to the Olympics. And you just walk in and you just like, how many times did I see that on TV?
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting chills. This is so
exciting.
Yeah,
it was an unbelievable experience, that opening ceremonies. And, you know, there's some athletes that miss the opening ceremonies. Why? Because they compete the next day. I feel for those skiers that compete the next day and have one race. You know, they've been training 4 years of their life. They're not going to give
that
up.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
But that's sacrifices the athletes make.
Of course.
It just goes to show you how disciplined and well-trained we are. So we had our first game against Italy.
Oh, wow.
And we clobbered them. It was 15 or 16-0.
Oh Jesus!
And this is the funny part. I score my first Olympic goal.
Wow!
So, you know, I get the taped up puck, first Olympic goal. Here you go, Katie. It was the last goal of the game. I think it was 15 or 16-0. I couldn't even celebrate. I wasn't even proud that I scored that goal. I was like, this is kind of mean. I shouldn't have put that in the net.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
Yeah. So.
And we got to talk about Finland. Let's fast forward up to the semis.
Semis, Finland. We just finished watching USA choke and lose to Sweden in a shootout.
That was horrifying.
It was horrifying. It was tough. Shootout's an awful way to lose the game. And then, sure enough, our coach. You know, we're. It's good for us that they lost, but ultimately, deep down, you want to play the U.S. and beat them in the final.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was the better chance of winning gold was to play Sweden. So our coach, you know, pulled us in and we're kind of lost focus because we're watching the game and, you know, says, you know, this can't happen to us now. Like, we have to stick to our game plan. And, you know, I scored the game-winning goal.
Okay, so let's back
this up. That was the goal of my career. I mean,
so talk us through you scoring the game-winning goal in the Olympics. This is the greatest thing ever. What was the score at the time?
What did we win that game? Was it 4-1? I think we were 1-1. It must have been 1-1. Too many concussions, Aaron.
Yeah.
But I think it was 1-1, and things were getting tense because we hadn't scored, and it's like, you know, we need that icebreaker.
So what period was it?
I think it was still the first or second. Oh, this I forget now.
Yeah.
This is bad. But I came around just from the corner, top of the circle, and just buried it top shelf and did the biggest fist pump ever.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. We have to get, like, some tape on this,
it was a great picture, the fist pump, but my belly button was exposed. It was awful. What's going on with my jersey in that picture? But it's okay.
Must have been, like, the highest of highs, right?
Yeah, It was an intense feeling. And then people say, you know, what was it like to win gold? You know, you don't know what's going to happen. But with a minute left, like, I was just so zoned in, like, treat it like another hockey game. Don't think that you're on TV. You know, you're not at the Olympics, just another game, or else you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah.
So it was a minute left, and our coach was like, hey, we just won gold. Like, we got this game. And I just got, like, chills, like, head to toe. And
wow.
It was just like, I'm about to celebrate winning an Olympic gold. Like,
it was
a little surreal.
What was the score on the Sweden game? Did you guys handedly beat them?
Because
I blocked it out.
It was 4-1. 4-1.
Again.
So,
all right,
we knew with a minute left, but it's just that's how zoned in I was.
Yeah.
I never started celebrating until that minute was left. And then, you know, they're playing your anthem. They put the medal on your neck, and people are like, so what did it feel like? What went through your head?
Yeah.
And I'm like, honestly, two things went through my head. They put it around my neck, and I'm like, it's extremely heavy. And then I look at it and I'm like, there's a hole in the middle. Like, it was a very unique, different kind of metal. It was wild. And they're trying to, like, now make the, it's like the Winter Olympics are, like, bigger and better. They're trying to make the medals. It was huge. It was probably equally as big as the last two medals. And on the sides of it, it was so thick that it had writing all the way around the sides. So, It was an awesome experience. And then after I won the medal, the very first thing some of us did is I actually jumped up on the boards.
No way.
I leaned over the glass and I reached my medal out on my neck so my parents could touch it.
Oh my God, I'm gonna start crying.
Oh yeah, and they were just my mom's a hot mess Italian woman, you know, like she was that parent that would just be yelling at everyone back in the stands back in the day. But you know, they were the reason I got there. So I shared it with them. I had three good friends that came to the Olympics.
Wow.
And that was kind of how it started. It's just that feeling of sharing Olympic gold with someone.
And she brought the medal here today, and I have it around my neck. Okay, now. Where is the medal?
I can't tell you that.
It's in an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location in Canada right now.
Okay.
So
all right, everybody. It's
next
in an
time I will bring it so we can get a picture.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
I mean, I love it. I love bringing it around and showing it. Coolest thing after the Olympics, you know, we went and we celebrated at the Hockey Canada house, and these crazy the Italians are banging on the glass outside. I'm like, these poor people are just watching us celebrate. So I actually went outside with my medal. No security, just went outside, started speaking to them in Italian.
No way.
And let everyone touch my medal, like held it out and let them touch it and see it up close.
The Olympic women's hockey team?
It was in Italy. We were celebrating inside, and I think I was celebrating inside with the curlers, actually, the men and women's curling team. And there was just people outside looking.
Just like civilians?
Civilians.
Oh, okay.
Because civilians in the streets of Italy, they're just, you see someone wearing an Olympic gold medal, like they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're all over you guys. So it was so cool to bring it out there. And
that's
awesome. I loved sharing it with everyone. And people have said, you know, that was, probably shouldn't have took it off my neck like that. Someone swiped it. But, and then I got to bring it back down to my family in Naples, Italy.
So
that was so special. Unfortunately, you know, they were working. They couldn't come. We had a huge pizza party. What else do you do in Italy? They
just
shut down the pizzeria.
Just to win a gold medal in Italy? Yeah. Like, and you're being from Italy?
It was pretty awesome experience. I was fortunate. And then bringing
it. Well, you worked so hard. You deserved it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then one of the other greatest things is when you first arrive back to Canada.
Yeah.
It's a special moment. You know, you get greeted by hundreds of people in the airport. And
Thunder Bay. Are you like now Thunder Bay's finest?
I was.
You must have a key to Thunder Bay.
Now there's a few more. I was the first one to win a gold medal.
Right? I mean, come on.
And now there's a few more. So.
Your headshot should be in, like, the Thunder Bay Laundromat. The Thunder Bay Speakeasy.
I do not have a street name now for me yet, Aaron.
That is, well, it should. Thunder Bay, people of Thunder Bay, get on this. You should clearly have a street name. That's so exciting. Thank you so much for talking through that. I mean, Canadian gold. What's this?
Well, you want to talk about In the Village,
don't you?
Yes. I'm trying to steer you here.
Please talk to me about chaos in the Olympic Village.
Well, you know, everyone thinks there's tons of partying, drinking, promiscuous.
They airlift condoms. They have condom drops in the Olympic Village.
I did see the condoms, Aaron. I will tell you that. But, you know, that first week especially, like, you were so focused on your sport. You were not messing around or drinking or doing anything crazy that first week. Once your sport is over, it's free fall.
Yeah.
You've just trained 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, pretty disciplined. You just, you know, a lot of drinking, partying, socializing with the other athletes.
Yeah.
Maybe getting a few numbers.
It would be a shag fest. It would be shag fest.
I don't think it was as bad as what people think it is.
Oh, I think it's,
maybe
I was
a little
fantastic.
Blind. But the cool story I always tell people is there was a McDonald's in the Olympic Village.
That's
they're a sponsor
disgusting.
Of the Olympics.
That
can you believe
disgusting.
That?
Disgusting. Were people eating McDonald's during
the
maybe
competition?
Post?
So the funny thing is, you know, they have all the Italian food. You know, you got your Chinese food. You got food from around the world there to accommodate all the countries from around the world. The cafeteria was a happening place. It was a great place to go people watch. I remember being in cafeteria line behind Alex Ovechkin. And I was this boy is big. Like,
oh,
those
my
hockey
God.
Players are monsters.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, as such a crazy sports fan,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure all huge, you know, elite athletes are also just insane sports fans in general. Just to be amongst, like, all these athletes, like, my head would fall off. If I was, like, in getting, like, a sandwich behind Ovechkin, or actually, more importantly, like, female athletes, because then my head would really fall off. Like, I was just like, oh, there's Megan Rapinoe in front of me getting a burger. I would be like, I would lose my mind.
Yeah,
I lose my mind.
And that's the thing. We made a list of, like, you know, distractions. How can we stay focused? Like, back to my village story.
Yeah.
So the joke is, you know, like, some people go get smoothies from McDonald's was a popular thing.
Yeah.
And that line was dead. But come week two of the Olympics, 2 a.m., that line errand was out the door. Like, every single person was eating McDonald's. So at the start of the Olympics, you're like, why? And at the end, you're like,
why
makes
not?
Sense.
Who cares? Just
perfect.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is definitely needed in the village. So
I always think it would be such a buzzkill if you're, and this is why I don't have it in me to be an elite athlete, because I think the opposite. I would get my schedule for the Olympics and be like, God, I hope we can wrap this up in week one so I could. That would be like also an equal goal.
And we were lucky because we wrapped it up, you know.
Yeah.
We had some time after. So I got to go watch, you know, curling. I went and supported the women's curling.
The excitement of curling.
Let me tell you, I loved partying with them. I know nothing.
Broom, 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 broom.
Can I? I will tell.
No,
you
I'm
this
sure
story.
They're. On.
She'll kill me if she. I'm not going to use her name. So I go to watch one of my
Janet
friends,
Curler
curling. Okay, and I'm like, where is she? The game started. Like, what? Where? It's the Olympics. Yeah. She rolls in at the second end.
No.
She slept through the first part.
What?
At the Olympics. And I'm like, wait a second. Do these guys like
wait,
not
a
travel
Canadian
together?
Just slept through her first match?
Well, no, just the first end. She was late to her match.
Okay.
And I was like,
that's like the funniest thing.
Okay,
ever.
Like we leave together, you know, 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Like that stuff doesn't.
Yeah.
That just
someone
says,
wake up, Shirley.
Sure enough, curling's a more chillax sport, clearly.
It is chillax.
So, but, you know, I had fun meeting them and partying with them. I don't know much
I'm sort
about
of
curling.
Obsessed with curling because it's so random. So and I can get into anything, and I'll watch curling. Why not? But
they,
I'm like,
and they won gold. Men's won gold for Canada and bronze. So it was
that's
it
awesome.
Was interesting. But that was a funny story. I got to watch moguls. That was unreal.
I was gonna say, like, what was your favorite sport
aerials,
that you got to
oh,
see?
Oh, aerials by far. I was like,
how do they do it?
I was like, how don't they die?
Right.
I watched 3 or 4 crashes, and I just
and then they get up, and you're like, how did that happen?
I could barely stand it. So. It was awesome though to experience all that and just walking around Torino, Italy was pretty,
oh my God.
Pretty cool. And we actually stayed another big distraction. People laugh when I say this, we stayed in the same building as the men's ice hockey team. So that was challenging.
Was it challenging because everyone wanted to shag each other?
Potentially, you know, just starstruck, you know.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Riding the elevator with little Martin St. Louis. So
wow.
cute. I'm like, he's almost my height. Like, he is so tiny.
St. Louis. Oh, my God.
Just all those big names. It was awesome.
That's so great. Was that like the first time that you had met these guys? Or
yeah, most of them, definitely.
Yeah.
So it was
same
interesting.
St. Louis as my Ranger St. Louis?
Yeah, your little... cute Martin St. Louis. So.
He's let's do
how
that.
How does he do
a
it?
Seamless, so... A seamless transition into how the Rangers almost have destroyed my life. I mean, when I know
OT destroys people's lives. It's tough.
It's just, this is the best. I wrote down a couple sound bites, which you're going to love as a hockey fan. Hold on. Where did I write them down? All right. So the guy, Pierre Maguire, is he? He's a Canadian, right?
Yes.
He must be, right?
We all know him.
So hockey, if you haven't watched hockey, there's like a little booth that they've installed in between the benches, right? And this dude, Pierre Maguire, he's got his headset on. He works for NBC or I think at NBC Sports or whoever's covering the game, whatever. And they obviously he's very skilled. I don't know if he ever played, but he's a good hockey announcer. He knows pretty much everything, right? But they ask him, like, the stupidest questions, right? It is the third period, Rangers, Capitals. I'm losing my mind, right? And this was two moments that made me laugh the hardest. Right when I was, like, losing my mind. Well, I was losing my mind the entire game. Two comments by the commentator before they went to Pierre. One, the commentator said, I guess probably there's a lot of stress eating going on in a New York and Washington households. At that time, I was putting on pizza on top of a pizza, on top of a piece of pizza, shoving it in my face. If I had a chocolate cake, I would have gone head in. Like, I couldn't function as a human. And I was like, and then I was with a whole bunch of New Yorkers at my place. And I was just like, we all looked at each other. We're like, wow, he just nailed the stress eating. Like, of all the sports I've like listened to or watched, I don't think I've heard an announcer saying stress eating. But you'll love this one. They cut down to Pierre, and the guy goes, "So, what's going down on there? What's going down right now on the benches? Talk to us. What you hear from the benches?" I kid you not. Pierre goes, Well, not a lot of talking going on the benches. Just a lot of like aggressive staring at the ice. And I was like, no shit. This
intensity.
Is game 7, third period. I just wanted him to be like, well, one player was like, well, Stana Katic from Castle, she's going to be back on season 8. Listen, the excitement between Nathan Fillion and that woman, like literally, like they're going to be talking about TV shows, like just, oh yeah, by the way, it's game 7. No one should be talking about anything.
So who do you think is going to win?
Well, my sweet, sweet Rangers, Stahl put one in the top of the net.
Good Thunder Bay boy.
Oh, what?
He's from Thunder Bay. That's with the right. Stalls. Oh, in the summer.
Oh, he's a dreamboat. I love that. This is full
Good
circle.
Deal.
This is just full circle podcast that you played with Stahl, and he was the winning goalie.
Well, okay, since my team's out, I think.
Who
I'm,
are you going with? Who are you going with? You're the professional.
For you, Aaron, I'll say, you know, maybe New York Rangers. I mean, they haven't won in a while, so.
Well,
it'd be nice to see them win. Like, Tampa's recently won. Chicago's, you know,
always
dominated.
Winning. I hate the
Anaheim.
Ducks.
Anaheim.
If I have to sit through another Rangers 7-game loss to the Kings last year, about killed me.
I'm going
to
predict New York Rangers versus Chicago final.
I'm predicting that, too. I'm cheering. I have so many Blackhawk fans in my life. I'm cheering for Chicago. I love the city of Chicago. I hate all things Anaheim. I apologize. Not really. I can't stand. Probably because I hate the Angels, and they have a freaking like waterfall in center field, and they shoot off cannons, and it's gross. But if the Ducks do win, it means I can buy a ticket and see my Rangers. So that's the only silver lining.
True.
And there's a little bit of a silver lining if Tampa Bay beats New York, because my parents now live in the Tampa Bay area and they're obsessed with all things Tampa Bay. But I'm not going to give it to them because my dad will be cheering for the Rangers. So yeah, Rangers-Chicago, I think.
Definitely.
And then honestly, the way Chicago's playing.
Chicago's probably going to win.
You know, it's good Rangers, bad Rangers. Every time I watch the Rangers, I'm like, what team is going to show up? Ones that look like.
Too.
But. So this is what we call Lundqvist. Lundqvist is, we call him Daniel Day Lundqvist because he just reminds me of Daniel Day Lewis. He's the most well-spoken, he's like a philosopher. They ask him questions and he's like, well, I never really thought, you know, these moments are tremendous. You can take a step. Like, he just, like, everyone's also like, oh, it's great. I don't have any words. And
we always say we put the goalie somewhere else.
Yeah.
Goalies just are different human beings.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They have, like, beautiful minds. Oh, we got to wrap this up. Okay, listen. We only have a couple minutes left. I'll probably just do an extra podcast next week of me just complaining about the Clippers. Clippers-Houston, we've got Game 7 on Sunday. The Clippers, if you live under a rock, they blew a 19-point lead. I was screaming with Harden. By the way, James Harden, best player of the Houston Rockets, second best player in the NBA, was on the bench. He was on the bench when this was happening. So I'm not, whatever. I can't, there is one game I'm not going to watch. I'm telling you, I'm not watching that game. Warriors are playing Memphis tonight. The Warriors look like they rebounded. I'm praying for the Warriors. Wizards, Hawks, I don't care. Cavs win. Good for the city of Cleveland. They've got nothing, and it's a charming city. So congratulations to the Cavs. Tom Brady can go suck it. Can you summarize your inside scoop in a minute, and then we'll do feel good player of the moment of the week?
Well,
what's the inside scoop?
I know that they filed a grievance, the NFLPA, on Tom Brady's behalf, and that the league, or they wanted to sue the league, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted an arbitrator, but they kicked that out. So I think.
Good for Goodell. He's like, I'm going to actually take this hearing.
But, you know, some people do say, like, my take on it, too. You know, Brady gets a 4-game suspension for deflating balls, and team loses draft picks. I think it's a little bit drastic. I mean, when you consider the guy who beat his girlfriend and wife gets a 2-game suspension.
Yeah. I think that's why they're doing it.
So I just think they got to figure out, you know, a better.
I think they shit the bed so badly that like someone could have like an illegal hangnail and they'll be like 6 games because they screwed up so bad that I think Brady needs to be suspended 4 games and they need to lose 2 draft picks. Yes, I can't stand any of them. All right, good. In summary, we just nailed that. Feel good. Okay, wait, pick your horse. Preakness, pick your horse.
All right. You guys in America like your horse racing. I'm going to go with American Pharoah because I believe win streaks. You know, he's got the momentum.
I love that you went with the pick that is supposed to win.
Well, it's because I know nothing about horse racing, really, Aaron. That's why I did it.
I'm going with this random horse called Mr. Z. It's so weird. And he's
I like the name
I just
of that
like
one.
Mr. Z. We're going with Mr. Z. Feel good moment of the week. This was a video I will post. It's this amazing, this really fun Spanish golfer, Miguel Angel Jimenez, nailing that name. He gets a hole in one. I mean, so great. Katie's already laughing.
It's an awful celly.
It's so fun. He's on a par three course. He gets a hole in one. And as soon as he gets the hole in one, you know, everyone's cheering. He takes the golf club and does, like, he's carrying a sword and it goes into it like his belt buckle and moonwalks. He moonwalks.
Twice.
Then he goes up to the hole to get the ball out, does like some sort of salsa moonwalk, and does the golf club as a sword again.
And it's, what does he win?
288 bottles of beer.
That's, you know, usually you're winning like cars.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I'll take the beer.
They also said he won another time.
Yeah,
this guy's been nailing hole in ones. It's the 9th hole in one of his career.
Yeah.
And he won 100 bottles of feel good wine.
I mean, I just love that. First of all, I love that he's so skilled. He gets paid in alcohol. He does a moonwalk. The reason why also this is a feel good moment of the week is because after the Clippers just imploded, you realize you have to have fun, right? There has to be levels of like balance, and you know, as an elite athlete, balancing of like joy and not taking it so seriously and also taking it so seriously.
And you got to entertain a bit.
And you got to be entertaining.
I mean,
moonwalk?
That was hilarious. And I mean, it was his celly. We've all had crazy cellies in our career. And fans,
what the hell's a celly?
How you celebrate your
goal. Oh, a celly. I love it. Yeah. We've learned Ringette and cellies.
Yeah, so I think he can work on his celly a bit, but it was pretty good.
I love it. A moonwalk. Where can people find you to get more information? You also do motivational speaking. You have a women's hockey camp. I got to get all this information out. So where can people find you?
My website's www.katieweatherston.com, and I run hockey schools in Ontario, only for girls.
Love it.
Because, you know, growing up, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I was always with the boys, so... they have a female role model, and we have tons of fun. I love doing it, working with kids. I also speak in schools across Canada.
Go to your school, and we're going to post all this information on Twitter, on Facebook, links to all your stuff. So that'll be up, and that's probably going to be up in a couple of hours. Thank you so much for coming on. I've had such a great time. I like a good nerdy hockey podcast. High five.
Thanks, Aaron, for having me.
Mike, thank you. Thank you to All Things Comedy. Go to allthingscomedy.com. Amazing podcast. They're doing live comedy shows. It's a fantastic place, and I feel very lucky to be on the website. Sports with All Balls fans, have the best week of your life.